Okay, so I'm Jean Rytok from the Raleigh-Durham chapter, and I'm from Chapel Hill, North Carolina. And those of you who are here saw me scrambling around to get my presentation on the right PC and up on the screen. And our group here is fairly small, but as I say, this is typical and a weight of, what shall I say, flexibility, commitment, just keep going, and it's all right, it will work out, it will get us there. So the thing I want us all to get started and being present to is, what are we up to as CCL? We're up to change the atmosphere on the earth, really, think about it. And that's going to give us a whole new trajectory of where humanity is going to go and where our children and grandchildren, how their lives are going to be. You know those movies where some superhero saves the earth from something? Well, we don't have the muscles or the outfit or the looks, but we have the power and we're doing it. And our power is all of us doing our part and keeping going, no matter what. So, here we go. So, now what's happening is, I need one more piece of, the other thing that's happening is people like this are showing up, which is my picture of my only and new granddaughter, Alexis. And she came on just as my mother of 93 years was passing away. And I thought, okay, from one set of 93 years to the next set of 93 years, what's her world going to be like? And that got me busy. And then I found CCL. She was born in July, I found CCL in August, and here I am. So she's my inspiration. And I'm pleased to put up her very cute pictures. And every time I do a new presentation, I get a new and cuter picture because she's growing. So what's going on with us? You know, we're up to big things together. That's our strength. Those are our muscles and our superhero outfit, the together part. And what are we, how do we go about it? By empowering each one of us to have breakthroughs in our personal and political power. So that really attracted me to CCL, like, oh yeah, because I want to have breakthroughs in my personal power and I want to be surrounded by other people who are doing the same thing. Okay, we're growing fast. I mean, our chapter has 145 members listed. About 113 of them are active. And we had more than 100 people join our chapter since the election. Not all of them are active. And the week after the New York Times article, 9 people joined us. Now, that's 9 in a week. We're like mushrooming. So, before about 2 months ago, our chapter leader was the only person really holding it all together. So we decided, and he's the one that suggested I do this talk. I started seeing him like, well, how is he doing all this? And it turns out, well, you know, not particularly well, although he was doing great, but I don't know how he had a life or got any sleep. So the group leaders are more important than ever, but we need to magnify their efforts, support their efforts. You know, there's no need for a group leader to be overworked or, you know, stressed out or whatever, because what? We're all here. We have, in our chapter, more than 100 people who could assist. So this is to think together about this. What could we do? And just look at the situation. So here's our agenda. What are group leaders doing? Why don't they just ask for help? I was surprised that my group leader wasn't. Like, why didn't he ask for help? We're going to talk about that just briefly. And why don't we ask our group leaders, hey, what do you need? What can we do for you? And how can we assist them? So I have some ideas, but we have ideas. So let's brainstorm them together. And then we'll wrap up after that. So here's some thinking about support. Buoy, buttress, sustain, maintain, take care of, look after, care for, back, champion, sponsor, uphold, cheer on, stand up for. Now some of these are encourage, yeah? Some of these are just verbal things, right? Strengthen, bolster, assist, aid, be there for. And so another, bear all or part of the weight of, hold up, and give assistance to, enable to function or act. So that's what we're up to. That's what this is all about. How can we do that for our chapter leaders? So what are they doing? Oh my goodness. They're making presentations, they're tabling, they're liaisons to members of Congress, they're meeting with new members, they're entering the records that you have to, the field reports. They're doing emails and more emails and more emails, and many of them are earning a living at the same time and have families. So there's a lot going on there. So why don't they ask for help? Well, I'm just reflecting on how am I when I get that like that, when I'm in a situation where I'm super busy and in the back of my mind, like, ask for help, ask, but I'm not doing it. And here's what usually goes through my mind. I'm so overwhelmed, I don't know what to ask for. Just got to answer the next phone call or write the next report or just, like, leave me alone and let me get this done. The other thing is scarcity mentality. And that's, like, an automatic thing we human beings have. It's like, well, nobody's going to want to do this. Well, like, how can I ask people? That's not going to work. They're not going to like it. They're not going to be able to. That's scarcity, you know, can't. It's just right there in the back of our minds as human beings. And I think another thing is, like, I don't want to scare people away. These are new volunteers. I don't want to, like, jump, you know, throw work on them that they might not like. I don't want to offend them in any way or burden them or whatever. And then there's the one, I know a lot of us have this. It's going to take me more time to train and oversee the task than just to do it myself. So bottom line, why don't group leaders ask for help? They're human beings. Darn, here we are again. Okay, so why don't we ask the group leaders what they need? Well, first of all, we're afraid of what they're gonna answer. Oh my God, I'm gonna get in so deep. I have to be careful here, you know, I've got other things going on in my life too. Or I might be asked to do something that I really want to say no to, but I won't feel free to say no. So like, if I ask, I can't then turn around and say no, so I have to really be careful here. And like, I've got my own life. I'm maxed out already. So easy to be maxed out in these days. And finally, we have our own scarcity mentality, which is something like, I don't have the skill for that. I don't have the time for that. I don't have the money for that, etc. So you've got two sets of barriers going on, you know, the leaders out there racing along with their set of mental things keeping them from asking, and we're sort of doing our thing, going along with our mental barriers that keep us from asking and offering. So now that you're aware of them, you can sort of go through them, yeah? So how could we support our group leaders? I thought we could. Could somebody be our scribe for us? Let's just brainstorm. I have some ideas, but I'd like to get your ideas. And if somebody will write these down, I'll be glad to. Okay, thank you, Aaron. Okay, if you'll write them down, then I'll be happy to send them out to you all later. I was going to have you write down your... I was going to have you put your email addresses on a card. And then I'll send these out to you, yeah? Afterwards, if that's what you want. So before you leave, if you want to get this list or whatever, so I'll make it easy for you. You can fill out your name and I'll email it to you. Okay, ideas, brainstorm. Oh yeah, or I'll collect your CCO cards. Yeah, that's good too. That's good, just leave them here and whoever gets to me with your email, I'll email this list back out to you. Okay, what do you see for your particular situation? What could you do to help your and support your group leader, Aaron?
First thing is the same situation as in your chapter where the group leader is doing a lot of work. So I think the first thing to do is to get other members involved and to have them be doing specific things. Someone who's marketing, someone who's meeting with the congressional member of Congress, etc. So that's the first thing, because once you get more people, then things start to get done.
Yeah, get more people in the chapter involved.
So I was essentially the first student intern in my chapter, so I am working on a curriculum, so this will convince the department heads to send students to the chapter if you have like a specific things to do. So the chapter leader doesn't have to figure out what to do with these students. He already has a plan for what they're going to do.
Perfect, yeah, great. Okay, that's a good idea. Why don't you give your name? I got that from my previous breakout session. And what your chapter is, yeah? Okay, who else? Ideas, yes?
My name is Chuck Stein. I'm from Santa Cruz, California. Our group has grown hugely. Also, we have 300 members now, but we only have about 20 that come to meetings. But as we started to grow, we formed a steering committee. First of all, I took over membership.
Membership,
so
yeah.
Dealing with the paperwork and getting people on email lists and things like that. And that was a great meeting for a year.
Good.
But then we created a steering committee with like five people. And we got together and designed teams. So
design teams, yes.
Teams like endorsements, tabling, things like that. And then we're at the stage now trying to get people to join teams and get those teams to do something.
Yes, good.
That hasn't actually happened yet.
But you have the structure.
It's more complex than saying sign up for a team. But after hearing the group from Berkeley talk about how they were doing this, now we're trying to do it.
Okay, great. So putting the group in teams and somehow getting people to join the teams, and then you've got five or six or seven things going on instead of one single threading. Perfect. David, your name and your chapter?
Well, I'm Dave Wander from the Santa Rosa chapter in Northern California.
Okay.
And there must be a group mind going on. You just said exactly what our we've been doing the last year. We had 60 members a year ago. We have 400 members now.
Wow.
We started a steering committee. I'm running the tabling and a little bit of outreach presentation and stuff. And other people are doing things. We meet weekly. We have a phone conference every week where the steering committee just says, what's happened this week? And we try to organize it. But our biggest problem is from working my professional life is there is no manager. I mean, the group leader is maxed out. I mean, Barbara, she's great.
Yeah.
But she just doesn't have an ounce of time left. And yet we have these five or six people in the steering committee who are all eagerly working, but we don't have a group leader, not a group, but a...
like an executive. An executive director is what...
Group leader,
yeah.
In our group who has come up with a list of the groups and their leaders and all that, but it's that implementation that's rough.
And maybe it's the chair of the steering committee or co-chairs if it's too much for one person. Anyway, that's
an idea, because right now actually we've had two group leaders, Barbara and Bruce. Bruce has been overwhelmed, he's actually doing better than national, and there's Linda and myself who've been asked to be the other co-leader. And we're both saying, God, I don't know if I have the time.
Yes.
But I think maybe that's an excellent point, is one of us should be co-leader and do the clerical stuff of being the official group leader. Maybe the other person should be the chair of the steering committee. It has no other responsibility but coordinating.
There you go. There you go. Break it up into small, biteable pieces, right, that one person can really do. Great. Thank you.
I'm Tom Singer. I'm from the Thousand Oaks chapter.
Tom, yes.
And I'm just kind of add on to what this gentleman said. I think what you need to do is identify, you know, the different skill sets. Some of us like to be talking in front of people. Some of us don't.
Yes.
You need to find your operations person, if that's what you want to call it, the corporate one. Somebody who really likes dealing with organizations and that kind of detail. Not everybody can do that.
Right.
We're not growing. I just joined the chapter 4 or 5 months ago, and I've kind of, it's very small. It's only about 6-7 people. So I made it my goal to bring new people in. So this is tremendous for me in terms of finding out. It's not just about bringing people in. It's about making sure that when they're brought in, that they're kind of interned, they understand.
Yes.
About educating and finding a spot for them, so on and so forth.
Getting them engaged. Getting them up to speed and engaged, yes. Luckily, the CCL website is just amazing. The community website, I'm just like, every time I get stuck. How do you really table? I've seen people do it, but how are you really supposed to do it? I went and put tabling into the find box, the search box on CCL Community, and tabling 101 came up. It's like tabling for dummies. That's what I needed. It was perfect. You're supposed to stand in front of the table and not behind it. What a great idea that takes no extra effort. Anyway, I love CCL because talk about an empowering organization. It's right there. When I need it, I just search for it and boom. I get a lot of expertise in a very short. That's why I'm operating at the level that I am. I'm going to be a lead lobby team member on Tuesday, and I've been here less than a year. I could never have done that without CCL's very rich, you know, tools. Okay, other ideas? Yes. And your name and your chapter is? Yeah. The other thing is having telephone regular call-in times for a particular topic. Three of us are working in my chapter surrounding the relationship with our congressman, Mark Walker. And we call each other at 7:30 in the morning on Fridays for half an hour-ish, depending on what's happening. And we have gotten so much activity out of that, and also so much, what's the word, sense of teamwork. So nobody's out there hanging out, you know, with the experience. I'm all alone and nobody's going to help me. That's scarcity in another form. So, and we, that has really worked. Plus, it's fun. You really get to know a couple other people, you know, their lives and what's going on with them, etc. Okay, yes. Hang on one second. The gentleman in the blue shirt, your name. Yes.
So, a couple things. One is just in terms of offering time when we all feel, you know, committed to that.
Yes.
Is simply putting a time on it. Like I've got, you know, I can give you an hour, I can give you 2 hours this week, or an hour, or whatever. But just specify what's, you know, give us something I can
do in a couple hours. Yeah, right. Good.
So, we have a coordinating committee that just also recently developed task groups or focus groups on different areas, so lobbying, business leaders, etc.
Good.
I'm just thinking that one thing we can do in the coordinating committee is A, expand our numbers. You have more people on the coordinating committee to help us all and help the co-chairs we have. There was one other piece that it was somebody asking other members, talking to other members of the coordinating committee about us all kind of helping out the co-chairs. In other words, what can we do as a coordinating committee to supplement if in fact they are feeling overwhelmed or like to ask or whatever.
Yeah. Okay.
Kind of working team.
Working the team energy and getting the request for assistance and the offers for assistance moving around the team. Yes. Chuck.
I was just thinking, you know, we're coming up with these ideas, but it also depends on the group leader. This is the person we're trying to help. So some of it kind of depends on their own psychology and how we're interacting with that and you know, getting them to say what they need. And
yep. Very good point. Yep. David, you were going to say something.
The real quick thing is I think it's really important the whole idea of honoring and appreciating and thanking.
Yes.
And engaging, that when you have new members, I'm on tabling and I get a lot of volunteers and I make sure that I appreciate them and then when they've done their job, I thank them and I ask them what they liked and did. And I'm trying to. And we, our whole group is trying to instill that value, values, even to individual members, and I think it's really important.
And to your chapter leader. How about appreciating your chapter leader? I mean, Mark Reynolds got a great boost, I'm sure, this morning when we all stood up and gave him a standing ovation that went on for quite a while. So that's the kind of experience we could offer. And it takes nothing, really. It takes maybe doing it when you don't exactly feel like it, but you get into it the more you start talking. Like, thank you for your dedication. You know, those of us here have no idea what it takes for you to come to these meetings or organize your life so that you can do CCO work. Thank you for that and for all the hidden, yeah, challenges that are that we never see. Yes. Yeah. Diversity, yeah.
Also, I brought a new member in recently who was a big Trump supporter, but he's also a climate guy. You know, sometimes it's hard to
figure
out what's going on. But there are those people out there. So we really try and work very hard about the nonpartisan thing, you know, and not and those lightning rods that go up like that.
Yeah. Yeah, and when you have, we do need those people. And also, I think it's good, healthy for us to have those people in our meetings and to listen to ourselves. Are we inclusive with people from the other side of? We say we're nonpartisan, but really, are we? So it's good. Yeah, we want to be. So let's keep having it. Thank you very much. Okay. Here's some other ideas. The first one is be low maintenance. And that means be the kind of person who in your chapter that doesn't take a lot of maintenance. It means be easy to work with. Respond to emails, even if your answer is no, I can't do that, or you know, thank you for sending that. Because to be a chapter leader and to send out an email and get almost nothing back is a like, has an experience that you can imagine. So respond to emails, come to the meetings, do what you said, you know, ask if you do need something, but, you know, be somebody who doesn't need a lot of follow-up because your group leader has got other things, you know, save your group leader's energy for other things or your team leader or whoever you're working with. The next one is doing the welcome calls. Chuck, you called it membership. That is an easy thing to take over or to assign to somebody if it's not you. You could go back to your chapter and just have the person be, I call it the welcome calls, and it includes taking that list that comes in every Friday, sending an email to the person saying, hey, can we have 10 minutes to talk so I can find out how you found us and who you are and what you're interested in? And those are fun calls because we're getting some great people these days. And in the Raleigh-Durham area, man, we are getting PhDs, postdocs, medical people. I mean, wow, it's really great who's coming in the door. And then it also includes, you know, filling out the roster list, filling out our email list, and having this person be put on the Excel spreadsheet so we know that they're officially in the chapter and they get invited to our first, the next upcoming meeting. And then we send out a follow-on email that gives them everything we just said in the detail, the address of our meetings, the time of our meetings, some URLs to the next course they should take if they've only done the intro or some of them haven't done the intro call, etc. So it's a nice package. And also they've had conversations with a person who sounds enthusiastic about CCL, and that's not hard for me because I love CCL. So, okay, the chapter field reports is another thing that's easy to take over. You know, they have to be done at a certain time of the month to really get it. It's like, I think they have to be due like the Wednesday before the second Saturday. So you could, just send out an email to the whole chapter, who's got something to report, here's the kinds of things we have to report, and after a couple cycles of that in the month, they'll learn what they should report, like, you know, the date, time, and who was, how many people, or whatever. So that's not too difficult. Creating and maintaining a shared list of your chapter members, or a Google group for sending out emails, so you might have some spreadsheet people in your chapter who can create for the first time. I mean, when I joined, we had a list of more than maybe about 80 people, just in a Google group. That was our roster. And in a Google group, all you see is the email address and sometimes not even a person's name, depending on how it was entered. So Don and I went through every item in the list, and I took notes. Okay, is this person active? How long about has this person been in, and what are they doing? And I made notes, and some of them, he said, I don't even recognize that name. And others, he said, oh, this is a good person, but they just moved out of town. So we got all that into a spreadsheet, so it's easy to maintain now. Engage new members quickly. Maybe you could even buddy them up with somebody for a while, especially in an area they're interested in, you know, that they're communicating with them a lot more often than just the monthly meetings. I think weekly is more the kind of thing that you want to really help people get engaged. That's easy to do too. Organize your chapter into teams. This seems to be happening all over, which is great. We just did that. We had a meeting where we did the, Ellie Sparks did a presentation at our regional meeting about how to do teams. So we just, you know, took her presentation and put a few little Raleigh-Durham words here and there, and we gave it to our group, and we said, is there anybody who wants to volunteer to be the team leads for these teams? And four of the five teams got team leads the first time we did the presentation. Wow, because we were saying scarcity. Oh, nobody's going to volunteer. It's going to be all back on us again, blah, blah, blah. But actually, it wasn't. So that worked really well, and we're kind of in the new part of it as well. But that seems to be the way to go, and maybe those teams need to have sub-teams, because maybe the endorsers need to have the faith community endorsers and the business community endorsers, large business, small. It's the way to start with a steering committee over the top. And if the steering committee needs a chair of the steering committee or co-chairs, you know, there it is, the structure. Okay, I think, is there anything else you want to say? Yes. Thank you. I'll remind you, if you want the presentation or the ideas we came up with. So here's the thing. The way CCL works and is successful is when these things get back into your home chapter and start getting, you know, put in place there. So be the person who takes the ideas that are appropriate to your chapter and put those things in place. Then our work here will be multiplied by many times. Yeah? Okay. Thank you for coming.